Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It is a very long passage, nearly 60 verses. In the interest of time, we'll read some of it. Let's begin our reading this morning in verse 38. We'll work through the whole passage in the message, but we'll read beginning verse 38. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Akron, so that the wounded Philistine fell on the way from Sharaim as far as Gath and Akron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Will you pray with me, please? Again, our Father, we're thankful that you have spoken to us by your word. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would come and speak to us now. We pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see our Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We pray you would open our ears so that the sheep may hear the voice of their good shepherd and know him and follow him. We pray that you would open our hearts that we might offer them to thee promptly and sincerely in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. This passage hardly needs any introduction. It may be the most well-known and beloved story in the Bible. But as we begin, before we draw our points, let's see how we get to the climactic action, how the text sets the scene. The Philistines have assembled for battle against Israel. King Saul takes the army of Israel, and they encamp in the valley of Elah. Both armies take high ground, and so the Philistines are on one mountain, and the Israelites are on another mountain with the valley in between. Then from the Philistine camp comes the giant Goliath. To emphasize his great physical stature, the text gives us measurements. The modern equivalents are that he was 9'9" tall. His armor, only the breastplate of his armor, weighed 126 pounds. The point of his spear alone, the made of iron, was the weight of a bowling ball, 15 pounds. Goliath is called a champion in the passage, meaning he will fight as representative of the whole army. He calls out a challenge for the Israelites to send their own champion into the valley to fight him. Whoever wins the duel, his opponent's nation will become slaves to the winning side. King Saul is terrified. He offers payment, his own daughter, and a lifetime tax exemption to the family of whomever will fight the giant. Now, once again, as we have seen in both of the previous passages, when all this takes place, David is tending his father Jesse's sheep. He's not old enough to be fighting in the army. Three oldest brothers of David are all fighting in the army, and so Jesse sends young David to carry provisions to his brothers. So David leaves the sheep in care of another shepherd and goes to the camp of the Israelites. There, in the valley of Elah, is the setting of this beloved story of David and Goliath. Let's look at it. First, in this passage, we see the glory of God. The glory of God. Look at verse 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistine drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers as he talked with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. Now note those last words in verse 23. And David heard him. He has arrived at the front. The battle is raging, but above the battle cry and noise and pandemonium of the conflict, David hears Goliath. What does David hear? Go back to verse 8. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Note verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now it goes on to say that Goliath had been coming down into the valley and making this same speech for 40 days. But this time, the last time, David heard it. David heard it. Now to put all this together, let's jump ahead to what David says to Goliath when they meet in the valley. Look at verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, You have come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. You see that last bit of verse 45? Whom you have defied. This is what David heard. Goliath defied the Lord. To defy the army, to defy the people of the Lord, is to deny the Lord himself. That's what this passage is all about. It's what David is all about. The honor and glory of God. That's why David enters the fight in the first place. Someone has to step up and put a stop to this blasphemy. Now we know God does not need us to defend him. He can take care of himself. He did not need David. The Lord does not need us. But we need him. We were made for the glory of God. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You know, the defense of our loved one's honor is instinctive to us. As children on the playground, I talked to these children this morning about talking smack. We all talk smack on the playground as children. Well, someone says something about your mama. Well, it's on then. You say what you want about me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but insult my family, and I'll have to take it up. You know, a sad irony is that this story that is about the honor and glory of God can and often has been presented in a way that does not do that at all. To use the story of David and Goliath as though it is simply a motivational tool. It basically just a glorified version of Hoosiers. Great story, great movie about, you know, old people like me, you know the story. Small rural high school basketball team in Indiana, huge underdog, take on the big team from the big school in the big town, and the little school beats the big school and wins the state championship. In other words, classic underdog story. And David is certainly the underdog here. But just to look at it and say, hey, the underdog wins. Now go out and fight your giants. Well, that really misses the point. The point is the glory and honor of God. Again, God does not need us. But can we sit idly by and tolerate his truth being twisted, his word trashed, his name slandered, and not say anything about it? Goliath blasphemed the Lord of hosts 40 days, but on the last day, someone heard it. Said, this must stop. We see the glory of God. Secondly, in this passage, we see the man of God. The man of God. Look at verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, this passage paints a contrast between King Saul, whom the Lord has already rejected, and David, whom the Lord has chosen. Saul hears the taunts of Goliath, and he's afraid. He is greatly dismayed, and King Saul offers rewards, including his own daughter, to the man who will go out and fight Goliath. Now, you remember in our studies in 1 Samuel, we saw that back when Israel first demanded a king, because they wanted to be like all the pagan nations, they said, "We want a king because he will fight our battles for us." Well, they got their king. He wants them to go fight his battles for him. That's Saul, but let's look at the other side of the contrast. David, he's the man of God. First and foremost, we've already seen that David is consumed with the honor and glory of God. Now, when David gets there and says something about this, his oldest brother, Eliab, looks on him with scorn, impugning David's motives. Look at verse 28. "Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come to sit down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Was it not but a word?'" Now you remember when the Lord sent Samuel down to Bethlehem to anoint the king, who was going to be one of Jesse's sons. And Jesse's first son, a tall, impressive Eliab, comes out, and Samuel says the Lord has not chosen him. And down the ranks until finally they have to go fetch David in from tending the sheep, and he's anointed king. I think this pushed sibling rivalry to a whole nother level in Jesse's house. And Eliab, I expect, has a fair bit of jealousy, bitterness from the fact that this little squirt was chosen king and he was passed over. And that comes out here. He accuses David of self-aggrandizement, self-promotion. And isn't David's answer in verse 29 just like a little brother to his big brother? I could imagine. I'm sure Mr. Dan Killian up there at some point, 70, 80 years ago, said to his big brother Jimmy, "What have I done now?" But Eliab has it all wrong. David is not seeking his own glory. He's consumed with the glory of God. Now, secondly, we see that David is a shepherd. When David's sent to the front to deliver provisions to the army, he's with the sheep. David secures a shepherd before he goes. He cares for the flock. And when Saul tells him that, "David, you're too young and too little to fight the giant," look at what David says. Look at verse 34. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him.'" Now David has already killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. When he saw them coming, he went after them. Before they could get to the sheep, David threw himself between the predator and the flock. You know, it's interesting. Here's Goliath challenging Israel, And the great king, Saul, is afraid, recruiting someone else to fight. David is accustomed to going out ahead to protect the flock. Those words we put on the bulletin at the bottom of the service from John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and run away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it." King Saul, he's the hired hand. He sees the wolf coming. He's not going to go fight the wolf. He's trying to get out of it. But David is willing to put himself ahead of the flock before the wolf ever comes. David's the shepherd. Thirdly, we see that David views the world theologically. He views the world theologically. What do we mean by that? Look at verse 36. "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Everyone else sees a 10-foot champion. David sees an uncircumcised blasphemer. David is the first person we read in the Valley of Elah to bring God in any way into the situation. Look at verse 37. "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" You see, David actually believes God is involved in the world around him. He sees more than the giant. You look at what's going on all around us. Pandemic, protests, riots, elections, Supreme Court. And the politicians and the media make their living on us being afraid that things are out of control, and yet God has ordained all of it. God is governing all of it, and he hadn't gone anywhere. David has a God-centered outlook on the events around him, so he's not panicked like everyone else. Fourth thing we see about David, he's committed to the scripture. He's committed to the scripture. Look at verse 40. "Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine." You ever thought about this before? Goliath had committed blasphemy against the true and living God. That's why David went fighting. What was the punishment for blasphemy under the law of Moses? Stoning. So David's gone to punish a blasphemer. How'd he do it under the law? He stoned him. So he goes to the brook and picks up 5 smooth stones. He takes Goliath down with a stone. Even in this little detail, we see David's commitment to the Word of God. And the last thing we see about David is simply that he trusts God. Verse 37, "God delivered me from the lion and bear. He will deliver me from the Philistine." no presumption here. He knows God's not obligated to do anything for him, but he also knows God is obligated to the honor of his own name. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to stand up for the honor and glory of God. And I trust he will help me do that. That's a man of God. So we see the glory of God, we see the man of God, and thirdly and finally in this passage, we see the presence of God. Look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Now, Goliath was cursing David. And you see what David said to him. "You come to me, you got all your weapons and your armor. I come to you in the name of God. You have defied him. But today, he will deliver you into my hand. I come in the name of God, and God's going to beat you." And we know how it came out. David swung a stone, and his slingshot hit him in the forehead, and Goliath fell dead. And David, who had no sword, took Goliath's sword and chopped off his head. But take David at his word. Verse 47. "That all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The Lord gave David the victory. That's what David said. You notice the title I gave this message: Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, Thou art with me. You know those words. The words of King David. This same David. Words he wrote years later, when he was no longer the boy coming from his father's flock, but the old king of Israel. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." This is it. Where was David? In the valley of Elah. Where was he standing? In front of a 10-foot man. 10-foot man casts a long shadow in that valley. In the valley of the shadow of death, David feared no evil. Why? God was with him. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, at the beginning of the story, Scripture says his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And at the end of the story, when Jesus has been crucified and raised and ascends into heaven, the last thing he says to his disciples before he takes off is, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And Jesus Christ is a good shepherd who does not run off when he sees the wolf. He is the one who went into the valley of the shadow of death. But Jesus could not say, "Thou art with me." He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The good shepherd went through the valley of the shadow of death all alone, so his people, so we, would never be alone. Jesus Christ went to do battle with a greater giant than Goliath, with the devil, with hell, our sin, death itself. Jesus Christ alone destroyed his and our greatest enemy. You see, King David was a good shepherd of Israel because David had a greater shepherd. Friends, is the good shepherd your shepherd? Is he your king? Do you fear the valley of the shadow death? He'll be with you. Trust him. Receive him. Accept him today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.